I'm Bailey Parnell, and this is Let's Think This Through. Join me for drinks as I bring on guests for conversations that inspire, amuse, and challenge us, but in a fun and relaxing kind of way. Ultimately, it's to help us all learn and live a better, easier life. So let's think this through. Hello and good morning, especially if you are listening to this when the episode drops at 6 a.m. Eastern. I am a 6 a.m.er myself. That is why the podcast comes out then, for all my babies who are also awake then. My next guest also happens to be an early riser. I know this because every weekday at 6 a.m., we are on the same call. Yes, every weekday, but more on that soon. I met this guest because we were actually walking in a fashion show together. And are we models? Role models, maybe, but no, we are not fashion models, and at least you could tell in my walk. Okay, but this fashion show was actually the City Moguls fashion show, where they pair Canadian entrepreneurs with Canadian up-and-coming designers, and they put on a fashion show to raise money for the Covenant House and other charities of their choice. So this guest and I, we stayed connected online afterward, and then the pandemic hit. Both her business and my business were ones that went from 100 to zero in the span of a week. I was quickly able to adapt to online learning, but this guest is the founder and CEO of Wax On Laser and Wax Bar. And I don't know if you remember this part of the pandemic, but personal care services was one of the industries that was closed down the longest. They were open, they were closed, they were open, they were closed. And I watched online as she navigated this, all while giving birth to her second child, get this, mid-March 2020. So during this time, this very guest also recommended her peak performance coach to me, Hina Khan, who you may have heard me mention on the podcast before. Now, I also mentioned that we share the same 6 a.m. call every weekday, non-video. And we've got a nice little Tuesday group call. So I have seen this guest take situations like the pandemic and turn them into wins just because of who she's being. And part of who she is a mom of four kids under five. And I'll be honest, watching her do this over the last 5 years, she has been one of the reasons that I have felt more confident being able to build my family in the future, alongside building a business, alongside having a good relationship, alongside having friendships. And when I see people like her do this, it makes me think, okay, you know what? It is possible. We are helping each other win, baby. So I have invited this guest to maybe help us all win a little bit extra. Today, I am having drinks with Lexi Miles Corin.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited. You are truly the top of my list of smartest, most intelligent, thoughtful people I know. I'm not even kidding. So I'm a little intimidated, Bailey, but I'm excited to be here.
That is the nicest compliment to start this with. So good.
Good.
Well, you know what, Lexi, I'm going to return lots of compliments to you today, because just in this intro, I was saying that, you know, you're one of the people who not only did you recommend me to Hina and all this stuff, but you're one of the people who's actually made me feel more confident in things like literally building a family, like over the last 5 years of knowing you and watching you online. And we can get into that, but start me off with what you are drinking, my little smoothie girl.
Dark coffee smoothie. It's bright green. It literally has every single possible thing that's good for me in here, actually.
Okay, you need to give us the rundown of this potion, because I see it on Instagram and I'm like, that looks like it's very healthy for me.
It is. It actually tastes good, but it's got, okay, so we've got coconut water is like the, and some water. I kind of like do a half and half of those. I don't measure anything. So spinach, apple, banana. Everyone feels like fruit and sugar is like a bad thing. I'm a very firm believer that that is not true at all. Almond butter for protein, collagen powder for protein, some like rainbow 1111 mushrooms in here, not the psychedelic ones. Don't worry. Chia seeds,
not today.
Spirulina. I think that does it. There's probably something I'm missing, but yeah. Anyways, it's delicious. And oh, I also put turmeric in it.
Oh gosh. See, you know what? That just sounds like if I drink that, I'm going to live a year longer, you know?
Yeah. Health, it's just health.
Okay. Oh, well, who's saying that you can't eat fruit though?
People say that there's this like thing around sugars in fruit and that like just like diet culture around like cutting fruit is like one of the, any of my friends who do like the, oh my God, what's the Tim Ferriss 5-hour body or whatever, what is it?
Is it?
Have you heard of it?
I know Tim Ferriss. Think about it.
But anyways, it's a Tim Ferriss.
4-hour like, work week, is that him or something?
It's that, but then he did like the whatever body and it. It honestly works, I guess. I've never done it, but one of the things is cutting out fruit, and I don't get it.
Well, I'm not – well, I mean, like, yeah. Nature's candy. Like, what am I supposed to do? But in honor of you, I also went downstairs and got a smoothie today because there is a – I mean, they're getting a nice little nod, but there is a Pliables in my club in this building that I live in. And there's this one that I'm obsessed with that is – it's like – peanut butter green. I mean, it changes. It's definitely got spirulina in it.
There you go.
Which is, can you tell people what spirulina is? Because I think you know.
It's like super, super food green. So I feel like if there's one thing you can put in your smoothie that's just going to give you, like, it's really good, like, immune boosting. It's really good for digestion. Like, it's, and it's, yeah, it, even the color of it, you're like, this has to be good for me.
Yeah. I know so exactly green. What you mean. And there was a bit where I was into smoothies, but I think what appeals to me about it is, I know that there's like a lot of, you know, jokes about it or hype about it online, but actually I feel like it's the most efficient thing. It's delicious, so and you get this stuff. You just add a little few things in there, and then I'm like healthy for the day.
That is exactly why I'm obsessed with smoothies, because when you don't have a lot of time, it's the one way to get all the nutrients, protein, like greens. I'm literally getting everything I need right now in my smoothie, and it doesn't take a lot of time to make, and then I'm good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So thank you for encouraging me to go get it, because this the peanut butter is really doing it for me this morning.
I love peanut butter in a smoothie.
Yeah. Now, do you remember how we met at the City Moguls Fashion Show? Do you remember that?
I remember the City Moguls Fashion Show. In fact, Bailey, it is my daughter's favorite. My husband Adam showed her the video of me walking the runway.
Oh.
And I was, if you remember, I was, oh my gosh, I think I was 4 months postpartum, July, August, September, October, November, 4 months, 4 months postpartum.
Oh, first baby.
First baby.
Wow.
And he shows this to her. It's her favorite video to watch. It is her favorite. She's like, can we please watch the video of you walking down the runway? And anyways, I love it because it was like me just seeing through my like Victoria's Secret fashion show model dreams.
Well, I thought you did a fantastic job. And I remember because I was so like, you wouldn't have known this because you were walking as well. But when I think back to that fashion show, I think about how I was wearing this really long dress that was gorgeous.
Yes.
But novice model here, still a novice in that space. So silly me, I guess. I didn't bring the shoes that I was wearing that night to the fitting. So I tried on these shoes for the first time the night of the fashion show, and even walking around the room, the back of my heel was catching the dress.
No.
And I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So I got so scared. And honestly, even walking to the stage, I had to stop a couple of times because the heel was catching the back of the dress. And I was like, I'm going to fall on my face right now. So I was walking down the runway and I was lifting the side of the dress. And like in all the photos, you can see me kind of lifting the front of the dress so that it wouldn't catch. And I would fall. I know.
Multiple shoe options. You always need multiple shoe options.
Like, okay, lesson learned. Next time I'm like bringing flats, I'm bringing heels, I'm bringing wedges. I don't even know. But
yeah,
I was schooled for sure.
But you did it and you didn't fall. And it was a rush. I really enjoyed it. And obviously I loved meeting you, and the crew that we had in that fashion show was so fantastic. And I loved that these two women, Dani and Victoria, like put this on and brought these amazing people together. And it was set for a great cause, you know, like it's fantastic.
Yeah, it was so fun. Are you into fashion? Like, have you always been into fashion?
So my mom is like a true fashionista, like loves styling, loves fashion, loves shopping, like all of the things. So that was, I mean, I was like her doll growing up, truly. I used to sleep. Oh, she used to put me to bed with like sponge rollers in my hair to curl my hair. So I had like perfect ringlets. Oh, in the
wow.
Morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I was literally her doll. So I would be dressed up to the nines all the time. And so I do. I love style, I love fashion. I actually don't like shopping, which is something that my mom and I really have a hard time with. So as long as it's efficient for me to get my hands on, but I love like putting together looks and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I could use you because it doesn't come very naturally to me. So I'm like, I need the yous. I need the influencers. Like, do your thing, babies, because I'm the one listening like, oh, that looks good with that. I'm copying that exact thing.
Amazing. Which is great. I think what I love so much about social media with fashion is like it makes it so much more accessible for people who want to look good but might not feel like they have it in them to like pull together looks.
Yeah. So then tell me about the rollers, like if you want to go there. I mean, if anyone's going to go there, it would be you with your podcast. But like, how does that, if you were kind of treated, it sounds like if you were the doll, then you were treated a lot for, you know, the beauty side of you. And like, did that follow you into preteen, teenagehood, and today?
For sure. I think that I, you know, and part of that was I'm a recovering people pleaser, and part of that comes from there, right? Like having to like look and put on this like kind of facade and show of, you know, who I was being at that time as a kid. And then I always like, okay, so this is a perfect example. In high school, I think it was in my graduating year. Anyways, one of the years I was voted most likely to never be caught dead in a mismatched outfit. And people would be amazed with the fact that I seemed to never wear the same thing twice. I did, but like I coordinated in a way that like I'd never wear that shirt with those pants ever again and this with that. And anyways, so it was definitely something that was just ingrained in me and I did for a long time. I think it took me a long time to find my look, which is very different from my mom's look because we used to go shopping together. I was so used to how she, you know, had me looking, which is like a bit of a mini me almost. And I loved the times that we spent together doing those things. She'd take me out of school and we'd go to Buffalo in the outlet malls, literally like during a school.
Oh, wow. She was really into it.
Oh, she loved it.
I mean, she looks super cute.
She's adorable and she's the best and she's just the greatest mom. And those were at the same time like amazing bonding moments for us. And also I recognize as I was growing up, like truly I needed to find what my look was. And I had this like love for fashion and beauty for sure. And I have her to thank for me then wanting to like enter into this space of like focusing on beauty and helping others feel and live more confidently in their own skin, which is what Wax On and South and We Go There is truly all about.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like for you, your relationship with beauty and fashion was actually more of like an identity exploration, like who is Lexi independent of Suze, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Who is Lexi was like, sounds like that played a big role in it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure, actually. And I probably didn't truly realize that till right now, Bailey. So you're unlocking it for me.
Think this through, baby. So, I know. You know?
So
but I've, you know, I said to you last time I saw you in Arizona, I thought there is something about helping other people do that in a way, right? Like it's how you present yourself. I mean, I'm thinking now out loud and I'm not quoting you, but I'm saying like, I think how you present yourself and how you want to be seen in that first impression. And it's almost like that is identity exploration. That is it's honestly one of the forms that younger people have access to. It's like the only form they have access to sometimes. But that was, it seems so clear how that's connected to your businesses, because in the intro, everyone listening would have heard me say that you are a founder and CEO of Wax On Laser and Wax Bar, but also South, which is, do you want to share what that is?
Yeah. So South's a line of products. It's an intimate skincare line. And the development of it came from our clients and our team members, like our waxologists, laserologists that have these amazing intimate conversations with their clients, and really women specifically wanting something that was really gentle down their care and like clean beauty, but wasn't something they were ashamed to have in their shower that looked really beautiful in the packaging. And that was not something that they needed to be embarrassed by, but something that generally like women should just be using better, safer products for any intimate skincare. So that sprouted, you know, just this desire in me to launch a product line that really tackled that exact challenge. And I was tired of seeing the options that were in the drugstores that were, you know, Vagisil and just like this blatant kind of stereotypical sweet spot, like just these names that didn't scream like confidence and didn't scream like you should just be using this because it's great for you and why not, right? And with South, that's what I wanted to accomplish.
I think you accomplished it because I have South in my bathroom. I can buy all the products of all of our people for sure. But when this came out, I thought, yeah, how has that not been done? Like you've got half of the population. I mean, we all need to be clean. Like we all need to be cleaning ourselves. And why is that such a weird thing to be having in your own bathroom? And so I love it. I think that the stuff that you're creating there, it smells great and it's easy to use.
So good.
Like, and I think you said that the South spray, I'm not sure what the is there a special name for it?
Deo Mist.
Oh, okay. The Deo Mist is like, I'm like, can this be perfume?
I spray it on my body, everywhere on my body every day because I'm so obsessed with it. So
okay.
It can. It's like, so it's got plant-based odor neutralizers in it. It's a clean beauty probiotic formula. All of South is probiotic formulas in it. But the Deo Mist specifically, like what I was so happy about, and they promised me they didn't just do this because I was on the trip with them, but I went on a trip with my girlfriends a year ago. Actually, exactly a year ago, and they all showed up and they had South wipes, and which is just like a biodegradable wipe, and they had their Deo Mist, and it wasn't even like them showcasing it. I just like would casually see it like in their makeup bag that they'd bring to the beach, like their sunscreen bag, and it was just this amazing, especially if you're on a trip or in the summer going for a workout. It's an amazing spray that just is. I put it under my arms. I put it on my entire body and obviously below the belt. So I don't know. I'm obsessed with it, but I did create it and selfishly. Good. Everything I launch, I kind of also do partially for myself. So
I think that's wise though, right? I mean, like myself, Hamza, we would say it's if you're running a business where your employees can't or won't use it, that's a little bit of a flag, or especially if the leaders can't or won't use it, you know? And so I think like to say, I co-sign this so hard that I use it every day. Like that's how much I believe in it. That I think that is like ultimate sign of trust building.
The other thing, if you haven't done it with your South wash, is it makes an amazing bubble bath. I actually want to launch.
I don't even have that yet. Oh wait, do you ship to New York?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I thought that you were only shipping in Canada, but I'm going
to
buy
it. No, we do. Yeah. We ship to the States. And yeah, it's an amazing bubble bath. It's like, and a lot of women avoid bubble bath, like products in baths. So bubble baths specifically, if they're prone to like yeast infections and things like that. Mm. And this is one that you can be so safe in using in a bubble bath. So
I love
just
it.
Another little plug there.
No, I mean, whatever, you know, I won't let it go too far so my listeners, you know, feel like we're all being sold, but I actually genuinely am most excited about the conversations when people are building things and especially things they're passionate about and especially things that like can help others. And I'm literally telling y'all, I use this product. So happy to go there. And I also think that it's interesting when we're talking about this concept of beauty, how it's clearly stemmed from your childhood, but then it also you've kind of built your own relationship with beauty. And now you've built something that is helping other people build their relationship with beauty. And like, have you thought about what, like how you define beauty?
So I think
the tough
you know
one
what is interesting.
Right? Like there's no right answer here.
Yeah, no, but there's, I think the pandemic really shined a light positively on the beauty sector. So in Ontario specifically, we were closed for 322 days. And that was, you know, we were like a yo-yo, the personal care service industry, in terms of literally today they would say, tell us tomorrow they could, we could open, and a week later they would tell us we had to close again. And what I think was really interesting during that time is how much people realized certain things were essential to them truly feeling just better and more confident, and not feeling that that is them being like vain and right, like that getting your hair colored and showing up and not having to wear sweats every single day, putting makeup on, like actually did impact how we showed up to a meeting, meeting someone for the first time, just for ourselves in our day to day. And I think that's a positive thing. So to me, beauty is, and at Wax On, our purpose is to create a safe space that inspires you to live more confidently in your own skin.
I love that.
And I think that that's beauty for me. It's just providing any means at which you are going to show up more confidently and better for yourself. And it's the same with South. Like it's just, I don't think beauty needs to be something that we feel ashamed of using and leaning into. I think it's something that we are fortunate to be able to experiment with and decide what parts of it make us feel like our best selves.
And this is it, because obviously I think some things through, you know, pretty deeply. And when I think about the beauty industry, it is a tough one, especially in the world for, you know, the world of, if I think about like feminism and the waves of feminism over the years, beauty and the relationship to the beauty industry has been such a part of this movement and this like interwoven. And I feel like we've gone from, you know, it was expected of women to a place where women were rejecting it as part of protest. And they're like, you're not going to prescribe that on me. And I feel like we're coming back to this fourth wave, but to be fair, I'm coming from like a North American context. I understand that we're coming back to this phase where, especially the young women I deal with, they are doing it for themselves and with other women. And it's not even the same as when I grew up. And it's like, they have this empowerment over it. And they are honestly, we are just done being told by anybody what to put on our face or what not to, or how to do our hair. If I want to shave my legs or if I don't want to shave my legs, like literally F off everybody, stop telling me what to do. Like that feels like the energy now, you know?
Yeah. Which I love. I love that. And I love that it can be something that's now empowering. And I think, and I'm hopeful, you know, in the aesthetic industry and also in the feminine care space, I have to say there's a bit of cattiness that can come out, which is really frustrating for me. And when I started Wax On, it very much was the case of the industry of aesthetics for women to work in was a high turnover and basically just taken as like, you're an hourly employee and that's how you'll be treated. And when I started Wax On, I said, you know, what if we can be different? What if we can do this differently? And we have. And then as I entered into the feminine care space, I noticed like really heavy trolling, and not fortunately towards South yet, but there's trolling around the idea around feminine care products and feminism within that. And anyways, it's something that was really intimidating as someone who's wanting to enter this type of space genuinely for the purpose of just providing a product offering that personally I feel like is lacking to people who want to use it. And I think, Bailey, that's what it goes back to. And what you're saying is it's just a choice and we're just providing offerings. Take it or leave it. Gwyneth Paltrow went out and, you know, years and years ago, and I'll never forget because every interview I ever had was asking me if, you know, I thought waxing was gone forever and no one was ever going to be, you know, any below the belt waxing because she. Oh, the space that I live in. But she had come out and said that she wasn't doing any form of hair removal anymore. And that was like her trend that she was leaning into. I don't know what she does today. She hasn't vocalized it for a number of years. But the point is that it was like, oh my gosh, is this going to destroy your industry because this person is deciding they're no longer going to participate in hair removal for like a, from a feminist perspective. And right. to me, I think it's, I'm going to offer out what, you know, I can offer in the best way and best approachable way. Mm-hmm. And it's the best part is it's just like the freedom to which us as women can partake or not partake in it.
And that is feminism to me. It is yeah. choice. Yeah. And that's what I meant by like, there is generational shifts. And I think that that has come with more liberation of women being able to say at one point, you know, hair removal was political. And at one point, the Gwyneths of the world were saying like, I'm not going to do this as, yeah. as like to show that I'm liberated. And we're all here like, do you, baby? Okay. Do whatever you got to do. I know you are too.
And I love Gwyneth Paltrow, by the way. And I loved her at that point. I was like, great, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Is your business going to die? I was like, no, actually, no. like, it's not.
No, it's not going to die. And frankly, like, if I want to participate in hair removal, that should be my choice, period. And there should be a spot to do that safely. So I just think, like, that's the wave that we're on now. And it makes a lot of sense. Because it's choice. So
exactly.
But I know that like what you said about the personal care industry and that those services I think it was really exposed during the pandemic how much it meant to people and to everyone, by the way, not just women, like
yeah, totally.
Everybody was losing their mind, they couldn't get a haircut. Yeah. And I mean, for you, I also think about the fact, and I mentioned this in the intro, that when this all went down, didn't you have Clarkie on like was it March 13th or 14th? Or
oh my God, you're so good. March 13th, yeah, 3 days before the lockdown. Yeah.
Oh, you need to tell that story again because I know you've told it before, but this is wild.
It was completely wild. Yeah, so Clark is my second born. So I have Piper and then 20 months later, Clark. And I was full blinders. Like I wouldn't watch the news. I knew I couldn't have this heightened anxiety in my life going into Clark being born. And fortunately he was 10 days early. And had he not been, I actually don't even think Adam would have been able to be in the labor and delivery room with me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I use midwives for Piper, Clark and the twins as well as an OB, but a midwife with Clark specifically, which was also really fortunate in this instance. But I had Clark, was in and out of the hospital right away. They call me like a drive-through labor. I'm like literally the fastest. I had him in 2 hours. I was home by 8 a.m., got there at 4 in the morning. Like I literally spent four hours at the hospital. drive-through labors. Anyways, so I was back home and, you know, basking in the craziness of momhood. And 3 days later, learned that we were going into full lockdown and we closed our locations before they actually locked them down because our team members were starting to get nervous. And as soon as they started to get nervous, we were like, you know what, this is the right thing to do. I remember writing that email to my entire team and I literally had like this brand new newborn right beside me. Mm-hmm. And I was so nervous. I didn't know what was going to happen. Fast forward, thankfully, Adam, my husband, was in a much larger business at the time, and they are like quick service restaurant, right? Like QSR brand. And so they had already been preparing for all of this.
Oh, wow.
Because when it came down to it, and, you know, I never forget, he turned to me and he was like, you got to get on the phone with your leadership team. Like, you need to like, this is real. This has happened. Your locations are now closed. And now you have to get into like serious saving mode. Like you need to save your business. And I was such an emotional wreck. Like I couldn't even fathom how I was going to overcome any of it. And I got on the phone with my leadership team and they were just so amazing. They honestly were leading me in a place where I should have been leading them. And they were like, we're going to be okay. We're working for free. Like you can figure this out later when we're back open. But right now, like we're not going anywhere. And the number of people, Bailey, on my management team then that I had to call, temporarily lay off in the, you know, following weeks, each of them said, like, we'll work, like, let us know what we can do. Like, how can we help? And it just showcased the strength of the team that fortunately I had built and the culture, going back to it, of, you know, this caddy industry that's now for us, we're doing it differently. Like the culture that we had built that really helped us survive through the pandemic, because we had just had so many people who, I mean, we had 96% of our estheticians return after being out of work for 322 days. It's like truly amazing.
That's incredible. And I'm just getting shivers again, you know, hearing this story, because I'm just thinking of like this fresh out of delivery mom. And I think, you know, this is the unglamorous side of business in a way, is like, this is also your livelihood. Like, it's not just about saving your business. It's like, if I don't do this, I'm not going to have a livelihood. Like I have, but I also my baby, and I'm just like thinking about that kind of stresses me out. But you, I think we're one of the people who was able to turn, you know, the pandemic, because of who you are, into something that eventually has worked for Waxon, it seems like. And for
100%. It really
LMC.
Yeah, exactly. No, it really was. And in fact, my greatest like realization of what my true purpose is with Waxon was discovered in the pandemic. And it was from shifting that, like, how is this working for me and not against me? What can I gain from this? And getting out of full victim mode of like that I totally, absolutely had every reason to be able to live in if I had chosen. And I did that for a bit. But then I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I've got to figure this out. And it made me realize the importance and what really, like, let's be real. My passion in Waxon, like, is not just hair removal. Like, that's not my why. My why is the people, and it's the clients, and it's my team especially. And so, and my franchise partners. And during the pandemic, I got to actually really realize my why. And that has changed the game for us, because being clear in what your purpose is just helps you to clarify like your true, true vision and the direction that I want to head this business in. And my goal is to create millionaires out of our franchise partners that are women. And this kind of just really reconfirmed that for me, because I was so worried about our franchise partners during this time. I was so worried about my team members being out of work and not being able to, you know, pay their rent and do the things that I really take true to my heart that we're able to provide for a lot of women at Waxon.
I mean, I was thinking exactly that. Like, the fact that you said it is what I received on this end too, because I think it was during the pandemic where I really saw you start to own the role that you play in literally hundreds of women's lives. Like, they're, and you becoming a woman who supports women, you were always that, but then just like doing it on purpose, you know, and saying it out loud.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I still love, actually, I, in my mind, credit you with changing my opinions on franchising. Well, actually not really changing it. I just didn't have an opinion before because I wasn't in the industry. And like, when I think about franchising before you, I thought like, I don't know, like franchising a McDonald's or a Tim Hortons or something like that. I guess you can tell us your philosophy on franchising, and I'll see, you know, if that's what I took away from it too.
Yeah. I was just having this conversation with someone yesterday. I was speaking at an event, and she came after me, up to me afterwards, and she said, just like, wow. And actually, she said it even better than I could say it. She's like, it's so interesting, because I always thought of franchising as this like male dominated thing and industry and an opportunity for men. I never saw it as an opportunity for women. And the way you talk about it, it's like you're creating this mentorship for women who want to do something. They really feel in themselves that they don't want to be in their day-to-day career that they're in today, or they start a family and realize like they just want something more for themselves. If they're going to be away from their kids, they want it to be impactful. But to build your own business and do all the things that go into that just feels completely overwhelming. With Waxon, what I love is like, we're literally giving you the support system and the tools to be successful in a business that we've proven out, and you get to own it. You are an entrepreneur. Like, you are gaining leadership skills along the way, and we're teaching and training you and providing you with what you need to, if you're willing to put in what you need to put in, be successful in an opportunity and be your own boss and bet on yourself and take that leap to do something that you've just been yearning to do. And I just absolutely love that. And when I recognized that, and it was around the pandemic when that came to light for me, it totally changed the game, because I don't think franchising has been done that way in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a true opportunity for us to lean in and showcase to women in general why franchising is a great option. It doesn't have to be Wax On. Great. I'd love it if it is. But like, in general, why this is a great option for women to move into. And anyways, it's just, yeah, it's really empowered me to go all in franchising, whereas I was really nervous at the beginning about it, because you're trusting someone with your brand, and my brand and the quality of our service is everything to me. But then I realized, oh my gosh, I get to empower someone to be the owner of my brand in, you know, Ottawa, where we don't have a brand and, you know, or where we don't exist today. And all of our clients, or all of our franchise partners to date, are pretty much clients of ours. So they already love the brand and they want to just recreate that. So it's kind of amazing that through that, I can pursue my goals even on a larger scale, because I can open more doors faster. I can employ more women through that and empower a woman to be their own boss, someone who maybe would never have done that had they not had this type of opportunity.
Yes. Like, this is the part that I took away that you had me thinking through on franchising, which was this idea that I know a lot of people, and I know you do too, where I always think like, oh, you would be a fabulous business owner. Like, maybe they don't have the initial idea, or they themselves are not passionate enough yet about something that they don't quite know what to start. And I'm like, oh, perfect. You're the person who should get into franchising. You should find the franchise that you're excited about, because you've got the skills, you've got the mindset, you're willing to do that, but you're just, there's that aspect. And then there's the folks who, where I think especially empowering is, there's systemic barriers. There's other barriers to participation, to being able to start your business from scratch, to be able to hire a branding company, to be able to hire a web designer, and like all this stuff. And so imagine you can have literally, as you're saying, the mentorship, the guidance of people who have done this. Yes, the brand is already established, but, and there, I know that there, you have to like, there's getting into franchising is not just like snap your fingers and you're in. Yeah. I understand that. But it is less barriered than having to do it all from the ground up yourself.
For sure.
And
for sure.
And I just think that's going to open doors, if not already, for people for whom they thought entrepreneurship was previously not accessible for them. And that's why I'm into franchising now. So thank you.
I know, right? No, same. I mean, when that light bulb went off for me, it was truly a moment, because I've been surrounded, like with Adam, I mean, they had 400 locations and franchise locations, but it was a very different franchise from what Wax On is today. And he loves that we're approaching this from a different angle. And it's so interesting to see what I saw in that business and then what I see in Wax On, equally both, you know, successful models, but very different approaches to them.
Yeah. I think so. And can you say what their franchise was?
Oh yeah. So they own Freshie.
Right. His okay. I was like, I can say it too.
Yeah, but... I totally can. Yeah. So his brother started Freshie, and then Adam was there for like the whole journey. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think why I wanted to say that was just because Freshie, I feel if you're from America, are they in America?
They are. Yeah. They were in, oh my God, I can't remember how many countries, but yeah, they were like,
so then people probably know them. But like this health, this to-go kind of healthy food spot, and it is really often you're in and you're out, which is way less intimate than what you're doing. And I almost feel like it makes sense why your kind of business with the kind of thing that you're doing, it just is not going to work that way. It's not going to work in and out, see you, bye.
100%. Like, we really need to vet and ensure that the people that are owning these Wax-Ons, these franchises, are the right fit. It's not as much of a, you know, you can write the check, we hand over the keys type thing. And not to say that was exactly what Freshy's model was, but it's such an intimate service offering. Like it really is. And we need to ensure that whoever is running that location is going to be providing that exceptional service, hiring the right people. We do the training, but still there's a ton of quality control that has to happen there. And that was what made me really nervous at first and now has me feeling super empowered by.
Yeah, I never thought about that aspect of it before just literally now. That idea of like what you're franchising, and in a way, if you give someone those keys, like you're giving them keys to be in really vulnerable spaces with really vulnerable people sometimes. And I'm like, I'm so glad to hear that you can't just buy into this. Like you actually need to check that if people are going to be in those spaces, like you're literally the most vulnerable spots of women in private spaces, that like that they are not creeps, to be honest. Like that's what I'm thinking as a patron, you know, that not some creep running this joint, you know?
No, exactly. Exactly. And that's why I love that we have so many of our franchise partners who are clients, because they want to just recreate what they've experienced.
That's fabulous. And this actually leads us perfectly into the thought experiment for this episode.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh. This is where I get a little nervous.
No, don't even get nervous. Totally fun.
Hey, what's the thought experiment?
It's like Bill Nye kind of fun. You know, like thinking is fun.
I love it.
But like nobody said I was that cool.
Just to live in Bailey's brain, to live in your brain for a day would be so fascinating. I'd love it. I'd love it.
It is a good time. I'm not gonna lie. It's just like I just entertained myself for a very long time.
So. Also, I'm sure like the conversations that you and your partner have, like, because you're both super thoughtful people, and I'm sure like compared to Adam and mine would be like duh, 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 duh. Yours
no,
are
I
like,
highly highly doubt that, man. I know I've had conversations with you, and already you've provided people with such value, but. The thought experiment part of this is where we just get to take something that we're talking about and blow it up into things that even maybe don't even exist yet, not or even in reality, and basically have some fun with an idea where we're not bound by the consequences and constraints of what we live in. So we can, my favorite thought experiments, I'm telling you, sometimes are with kids, actually.
Oh. 100%.
I bet you, Piper, if I was like, Piper, we need some kind of thing that takes people from one side of the planet to another in an hour, she's going to give you the best answers.
Oh, 100%. No, we've had meetings. Like she's structured actual formal meetings to go over a business idea that she has.
Awesome. Oh, stop. What is her business idea? I love this. Piper's fire, by the way.
Piper's five. She's very good at delegating already. Like I'm impressed with the delegation skills.
Oh, well, that's her business then. I will teach you all to delegate like a master someday.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was thinking it would be fun for us to build the brand for a franchise of the future, because I think that's something that you're so good at, the brand building, and obviously we've just talked a lot about franchising. So on the spot, we are going to choose a real or a fake service that you believe could be a great franchise 20 years from now. It might exist already. I don't know. Or maybe you've been thinking about it and you're giving someone the best business idea of their life right now. Mm-hmm. Or it can be something like flying cars. I don't know. doesn't need to exist.
Interesting.
So it can come from any industry. What does beauty look like in 20 years? Is it a service that doesn't exist? And then we will try and build that brand just for fun, literally. So real or fake service that we believe could make a great franchise in 20 years.
That doesn't exist today.
Doesn't have to.
What about a really cool, so makeup of the future could be really interesting. So a place that you go in and then you'll know the technology that could be incorporated into this. But essentially, it's like a Sephora of the future, but you go in and it just like scans your face. It tells you exactly your color palette the types of tones that would look good with what your skin tone coloring is. And then it provides you with like this package of a lipstick, lip liner, like all your staples that you need, your foundation, everything that just like matches with your skin tone palette.
Oh my gosh.
Damn. I get it.
That. I'm going to cut out the other part. This part. I know. That's still a great business idea if you're asking me. I love this. And in the future, I think you could go even further. Like, I feel like this could just do your makeup for you if they have, if it's like,
well, yeah.
Cause you know how we can like do scans of the face now and they can even put like a filter on it virtually, or that same kind of technology, I imagine could probably map where like the machine is like, okay, I'll adapt. You have high cheekbones. I'm going to like do your makeup this way.
100%. But I think that there has to be like this component. It's so frustrating. I know the frustration. Listen, I love makeup and I love doing makeup. Going into Sephora and trying to figure out your palette is insane. There's just so many options. So what if you could like, it just was super easy and you went in, it was almost like a stylist, but for your face.
I love it. Brand name.
Oh man. Okay.
I know. Names are huge. You can call it quick. No, that's not. Maybe it's just called palette.
Oh, I love palette. Love palette.
Okay, fine.
Yes. This is brilliant. Yes, I love palette.
Pick your palette.
And then does palette have its own brand of products? Of course it does.
Oh, yeah. Unique selling proposition. I think you just said it, which is my next question, which is like, hey, this is really hard to know if you're not doing this all the time and you're not a professional at this. So come in, go through the scan. We will give you all the information about you and we'll give you the products, whether you choose to buy them here or not. I mean, maybe you do. Maybe there's like a upsell.
Well, of course. Of course they're buying the products. That's what it has to, because people go and get their makeup done and they're like, well, I just want to look like this all the time. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be one, a how-to. So it's like a video takeaway of you getting your makeup done so then you can do it at home yourself. And then you buy all the products. And the best part of Palette, the brand, in terms of the product offering, is it is so inclusive and so diverse, because we have to have every skin tone.
Right, for sure. Completely
inclusive brand, obviously sustainable. And that's Palette.
And oh my gosh, you just give them a nice little selfie after their makeup is done so they can want to post it online, talk of about course. It.
Yeah. We have a full little photo booth area, and automatically, Vaily, you can get the photo and immediately upload it to whatever the social media of choice is at that time. And it automatically like adds the tags and everything.
Yes, exactly. And then they, because it's a franchise, it's like going to a is it called Glossier?
Yeah, Glossier. Yeah.
Going to a Glossier. It's like you get your scan and then you can just get everything that you just created there.
Yes.
Where would be the first location?
LA.
I was going to say, it's probably, this kind of thing's or probably not in LA.
I think we would do like an LA, New York, Toronto, because like we need Canada to be in the mix. Yeah. I'm not leaving us out. Toronto, LA, New York, Miami is kind of like the first little, because it's going to be so successful, we're going to open four at once.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Exactly. When it's so successful, everyone will want one in every country.
Yes. But,
and easy, and maybe because it's machine-based, I mean, yeah. Who do you think would be the perfect franchise partner for something like Palette?
What I love is I think it would be a great opportunity, and we make it like a very accessible entry point, but for makeup artists.
Ooh, you are good, girl, because I was worried about the makeup artists, but you're saying let's turn them into the owners.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That is so good.
Yes. So we're not like trying to remove anything from anyone in the industry. It's actually like an opportunity for them to be, you know, the next level of themselves.
Oh my gosh, I love that, because of course they're going to know how to advise you. They're going to know, like, even if the machine is working, like if the machine spits out something that's like, that's weird, who's going to know better than a makeup artist?
Exactly, exactly. And I mean, I think some makeup artists, like after doing it a long time, they're like, okay, like I need something more. Love doing it, but also a little tired. So this is the next level. Yeah.
franchise of the future. That was fun. That was really fun. Good.
I love it. I'm so excited. Oh man, I'm not gonna be able to stop thinking about this now. All day I'm coming up with more about the palette. Great.
Bring me in as an investor. I'll help set it up in New York.
For sure.
It's kind of funny though, because in the kind of mindset work that we both do, we do actually live a lot in the future in a weird way, or what we call that future present. So sometimes, y'all, we sound a little bit like psychopaths because we're just talking to each other like from the future, like it's happening right now. And if you were listening in on this convo, you would not know that we are in the present.
100%. It's so true. It's so true. I get caught like by Adam sometimes to just be like, well, are we now? Or are we like, where are we?
Like, oh my
God. It's all good. Cause he knows I'm a master manifester. So he's just like on board. Like, whatever you're doing, I'm on board. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, that's actually funny enough, come up on a couple of episodes, this idea of like acting from the place of the goal and all that. And in the intro, I mentioned that we are on 6 a.m. calls every weekday. Okay. How do people react when you tell them that you're on a 6 a.m. call every day?
I mean, I think generally anyone who is a friend of mine or even just follows me on Instagram all consistently think I'm a bit crazy, just because I do. Like, I'm the person who did a cold plunge at 4 a.m. before I got on a flight to Vancouver.
Yeah, man, you are a little bit wild.
But I'm like such a firm believer in like the morning routine and how that impacts the rest of the day. And even if you're not a morning person, like, I dare you to just try it, right? Like, mm-hmm. just to get up. Doesn't need to be on a call at 6 a.m., but, like, set a morning routine. Get your workout done early. And I have 4 kids, so I don't – like, moments I can find for myself, and often Clark, he's an early riser, so often he will be with me. But, like, even just having some time, it's – everything. I don't know about you, but like, I notice the days that I'm not on the morning calls and journaling in the morning and like having that routine and the days that I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for me, the way I describe it to people, first off, I have to tell them like, it's not video. Like,
I know everyone's like, you're on Zoom, you're crazy. Like, you have a call. Yeah. Some people have thought it's like me having my team on a call at 6 a.m. I'm like, I'm not that crazy.
No, I don't force other people into this brain. But
and by the way, we pay to do this. That's the best part.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah. So we pay to sign up for this drama. But you know what I mean? Some half the time I'm in my bed and I'm like reaching, I'm like putting my headphone in or something, and I'm like, that's how I'm getting out of bed, getting to the gym and stuff like that. But I kind of describe it to people like mental fitness. Like I literally, you know, let's think this through. I think for a living. And, you know, I would go and do physical fitness every day to keep my body well. And I kind of see these calls like, well, I also have to do some kind of version of mental fitness every day.
I love that description. I'm stealing that for sure. It's so true.
Mm-hmm. Steal it. Like, we need to keep mind-body connection as well as be performing every day in all the multiple roles that we have.
Yeah. I completely agree. Mm-hmm.
So with LMC and with living in the future, because even calling you LMC, I'm thinking of LMC brands, right? Which is a host of them. But we did talk a little bit about the past too, because I think that's super interesting where, like, how we became these people. Like, how did LMC become LMC? And I know that you talk a lot about wanting to set an example for your children. And what were the examples that were set for you? I know we talked a little bit about your mom and in regards to beauty, but maybe that is part of it. Like, what examples did they set for you to become someone who does think this way, who is able to find the good or to turn these situations into good or see a business opportunity? Like, take us back.
Yeah, it's so interesting. My dad's an entrepreneur and had and has still a number of businesses that he had started. And he started it like he was small town. Like, he grew up in this place called Hornings Mills, where literally all of the grades were one grade because that's how many kids were in the school, right? Like, they were all in one class.
Oh, wow.
Like, we're talking small town. And he went on, like, he was a superstar hockey player. like it was in the Guinness Book of World Records for hockey. Like amazing hockey player, played over in Europe. And
no way.
And he was in
a telephone.
My dad. Yeah. He played pro hockey. He's a superstar. Like he's so impressive. And he came back and needed to get a job. And anyways, he went into telecom. He worked for Bell and he took the biggest risk. And the risk was so interestingly timed because my parents were debating whether they wanted to start their family. They ended up saying, you know what, let's wait because my dad was going to start this business. And sure enough, my mom ended up getting pregnant and they had both like the launch into a brand new business and my brother imminently coming.
Sounds familiar.
And he had no safety net, you know, like he had zero safety net beneath him. If he messes up, like he didn't have anything to lean back on, his family, like they didn't have money, like he built everything from himself. And so it's just, I think that at the core of it has been something that has been so unbelievable to witness is the success that he created for himself and the life that he created for us and the experiences that we then got to be exposed to. He took us with him and my mom, like, I mean, I don't even know how she did this, but he traveled all the time for work. He took us on a trip around the world, literally for 4 months, 2 years in a row. We pulled out of school. I was 9 years old.
Wow.
My oldest brother would have been 13. And took us out of school and we traveled with him for business. And it was the most incredible experience ever. And I think that from there just set like the foundation of you can do anything you want. Like whatever you want to do, you can do it and you can be the top of your field in doing that. And it was, you know, he was a big goal setter with us. Like I've been setting goals since I was, oh my gosh, like could write, like it would be in my room, like set goals, set pros and cons lists. Like it was very much trying to continue to push yourself to be the best in whatever that thing was that you were committing to doing, the track meet, the, you know, grades in school. And in me, I think he saw that I like just ate that up. Like, and so then he'd push me harder, right? Because he could see like I just lived for this stuff. Like I'm a very coachable human. And and anyways, so it was, I think, setting the groundwork of like you can do more than you believe is possible and pushing me to see that in each kind of aspect along the way. And then with my mom, I'll say when I was 16 years old, she decided to start her own business. She opened up a retail shop, like the ultimate girl shop, clothing, all of the things. She like just did it and she did it so well and she was so impressive and she was so good at it. So both my parents have shown like this entrepreneurial spirit. And for my mom, it was her like completely changing her life after being the ultimate stay-at-home mom for all of our childhood. And then finally being like, you know what? Now I can do something for me.
That's so cool. And I can definitely see how this equation is coming together, like in terms of, you know, we've got some entrepreneurship, we've got some athleticism and health. And I know that that fitness is important to you. And then you've got your mom and the beauty aspects. And now we've got Lexi. It's literally 1 + 1 = Lexi.
Yeah.
And that is a entrepreneurial, you know, goal setting, fitness oriented person in the beauty industry. Like it just is like, man, our past is present, isn't it? And our future is present apparently for us too. So we're just living all over these timelines.
Exactly. I love that. I love the connection there. I honestly haven't truly like added it all up, but it's absolutely accurate.
Yeah. I mean, I see your parents too. And it's so sweet because you put them on online sometimes and they're like part of that village, which is another thing that I've always loved about your presence online is because I was saying earlier that you're someone who is showing me that, you know, like, or I guess to say like from part of my past is I had a lot of strong women in my life, but I didn't have women whose lives I wanted. Like they weren't didn't even really go to school or certainly no entrepreneurs or anything like that. So I was kind of like, can you do that? Like my mom has 4 daughters and 2 stepdaughters. I'm like, can you do that? Can you do that and also have a partner and also build the business and do these things? Like, oh, kids are going to take away from that. And my thinking has changed completely on that, but you're one of the people where it's like, No, it is possible. It's possible to be doing all of it, to be having the family and to be building the business. And there are, guess what? You know what? There's realities. There's things mm-hmm. that make it possible. And I think you're very open and honest about like, hey, you know what? It takes a village. Yeah. And I love that. When you share that, I think like, you're like, I have help.
100%.
And I love that transparency because then it actually helps other people like me build a strategy. Like be like, well, how do you do that? Okay.
It's so
she's saying how, and it's, you know, it's not available to everyone, but yeah, sorry. I just love that you're open and honest about that.
It's so important because we see a narrative online that's not the reality when people don't showcase the village, right? Mm-hmm. So I say you can do it all. You can have it all mm-hmm. and it takes a village. And so if you want the family, if you want the business, if you want the healthy marriage, if you want the time to prioritize yourself, which going back to like the example I lead for my kids, it's that. It's like them seeing that I am going out and cold plunging in the morning because that makes me feel good. Or they see me right beside their playroom while they're playing, trying to fit in, like literally in the playroom actually last weekend, just 20-minute little like Pilates workout. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important to showcase that. And I also think it's so important to show the narrative of when women want to go after and pursue their dreams, you absolutely can. And you do need a support system. And we need to learn and be an example for each other of what it looks like to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Because there's just this stereotype that I feel like we all hold each other to of, oh, we're doing it all. And we don't need help. Like we're fine. We totally can juggle all of the things. Mm-hmm. And guess who gets left out? We do. Mm-hmm. And then guess who's resentful, guess who's not as happy in their own life, and guess who's not showing up as well for their kids and their partner and themselves? Mm-hmm. We are. So it's a lose-lose scenario unless we actually put a plan together to ensure that we are supporting ourselves first. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's then a domino effect of everyone else around you then feels supported and loved. And it's a game of trade-offs. Like I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't like the word sacrifice because I'm mm-hmm. choosing, like I'm actively choosing where I want to spend my time.
Right.
And I ensure for me that feels balanced. To others, it may look completely insane, but like to me, I feel like I'm accomplishing everything I need to accomplish in, you know, a day and a week. And, mm-hmm. And that's because I have significant help and to your point, it can look so different to everyone. It can literally look like mm-hmm. just receiving someone saying they're going to drop their kid off after school for them. Like just receiving yeah. that. It can
that
look
is
like
so true.
The basic things where we'd instead as women, we'd be like, oh no, I don't want to be a bother. Mm-hmm. They want to drop. They wouldn't have offered. Mm-hmm. Just say yes. Like lean into those little things.
Yeah. That's interesting because you know, when we think of like the community, I think people automatically go in their mind to paid help, and that's okay mm-hmm. too. That is okay too. However, yeah. there's also other kinds. Like, I mean, I thought of this because I was thinking about your parents, and I'm like, so, and I would die. I would wish my mom lived next door. Like if that was a possibility, that would have been so cool, right? To have that part of your village. But there's totally. Also like, I even think about society should be orienting more and towards being that village for women. And yes. women putting women first is a hell of a radical act in the mm-hmm. history of humanity. And yeah. imagine, like, actually, what could we create? What would happen? I literally don't even know the outcome of what would happen if more women said, when I fill my cup, I can fill everyone's cup.
It would be like,
radical.
We can't imagine. It would. It would be radical. It would be unbelievable because we would all be showing up like at a whole other level. Like it is truly amazing. And for some reason, we are just in this like stereotypical like cycle that we can't break out of. How often do men get interviewed and they ask about the juggle?
Listen, we're talking about it right now. And I know that we've talked about it privately as well, because we are thinking about it all the time. That's the reality. That's how we've grown up. We are thinking about that juggle. And then I know you've said like, I feel mom guilt sometimes. Like
yeah.
this idea that we are even having to talk about it is so real.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is. And it's, so I think it's, you know, I'm going to continue to do what I do, which is just share the reality of a situation and totally recognize my privilege in like I have hired help and I'm very open in sharing that as well. But I think for everyone else who wants to just do the thing, like something, like they've got this burning, yearning inside of them that they feel like they should be doing more, I would ask you to first do the thing, like first make the move and then build behind you, because you can come up with every excuse in the book. Like I have so many excuses. I could stay in bed all day if I wanted to, because I could just make up all the excuses of why that's available to me, right? And instead, I think we need to lean into the fact that let's make the move. Let's make just one move towards whatever it is that you want to be doing, whatever that next step is for you, and then build the village to support that so that you're not getting caught up in, well, I can't do this because I don't have help to, mm-hmm. you know, take the time to build a business, to be able to do the business and do all the things. And we think like 5 years out, instead of just thinking in the now and starting to make moves towards whatever that is that you desire. It's the same as when, you know, unfortunately, like when tragedy strikes and we feel like we can never take a minute, but then we take a minute and we have people that pick up the pieces behind us, right? Like it's an unfortunate comparison, but
well,
we do.
Kind of like
do
you
that.
At the beginning of the pandemic, right? Like I don't think exactly. you said to yourself, I'm thinking 5 years out, it's going to happen in my business. And people, you wouldn't have been able to predict fully how your leadership team was going to react.
No.
But that is kind of, I know that's really hard for you listening. I know that sounds wild to say, oh my gosh, just make the decision.
And I know.
You know, my husband sometimes says, you can't always make the right decision, but you can make the decision and make it right.
I love that.
Things will reveal themselves.
I love that.
But they can't reveal themselves if you don't take the step. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it doesn't need to be the biggest leap, right? Like it doesn't need to be like the jump off the cliff that everyone makes it out to be. It just needs to be a step in the direction, like following, you know, as we talk about a lot in the work that we do, following the nudge, like just following something that's ringing inside you. And don't get caught up in like, oh my gosh, but all the other things that I need to take care of in or if I do this, right?
Yeah, I love that as a tip for everyone listening, because it sounds like a bit scary at first. It's like, if I just make the decision though, and what if I fail? But I think it's, and I know you operate this way too, that when you make the decision, things reveal themselves that wouldn't have if totally. You didn't make it. Like if I decide tomorrow that my dream is to open a coffee shop. So tomorrow, or, you know, I start going to more coffee shops, then I run into the owner of one.
Yeah.
Then, you know, like this is like how it snowballs, right? And that just wouldn't happen if I didn't decide that in the first place. So you can't always make the right decision, but you can make a decision and make it right.
Yes. I love it. I love it so much.
Okay. Okay, Lexi. So as we get close to the end here, and I want to do one segment with you that is changes for every episode. So there has been, you know, lost in thought, there has been baby thinking, and yours, I thought a good one would be quick thinking, a rapid fire Q&A session. And I mean, I don't really know why it just came to mind for you, because I think about, you know, you and fitness and like go, lots on the go. So I'm gonna give you a bunch of quick questions that require the more like immediate spontaneous answers. Don't overthink it, because that's separate segment.
I know. Okay. All right.
We'll go through them. Okay. What? Favorite smoothie additive?
Spirulina.
Very first thing you do when you wake up?
Oh, journal.
One habit that contributes to your success?
Consistency.
Good. Books, audiobooks, or podcasts?
It's like an audiobook podcast split.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like reading, I keep trying to read, but like, I just can't, I don't know. I just
a listener.
Yeah.
Okay. Top book you recommend to people wanting to achieve more.
Oh, The Big Leap. It's right on my desk. Phew.
Oh, literally. That was literally all timed.
I swear I didn't get these beforehand.
No, she did not receive these ahead of time. Okay, favorite beauty product right now?
Ooh, Ilia Everything Balm. It's a cheek lip. Yeah.
I am actually
multi-stick. It's called the Multi-Stick
right now.
You are?
I am literally wearing that right now.
Isn't it so good?
I swear.
That's amazing.
I also was unplanned. But okay, one trend in the beauty industry you're excited about?
I love the brow trends. Very excited on brow trends. Yeah.
One trend you wish would end or die?
Okay, so on the brow trends, it really makes me nervous when I see the skinny, skinny brows again, like the 90210. Like, it makes me cringe. You can't go there. Please, 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 please.
We've learned our lesson.
When I say I love the brow trend, it's like the runway, bushy, like, you know, laminated brow. And then the one I'm terrified for is the 90210, Donna. What was her name? Donna. Yeah.
Very thin. No eyebrows. Yeah. Yeah. Learn from us.
Yeah. Okay. Terrified.
Favorite city for business inspiration?
New York.
Oh, fun.
Oh my God. Every time. Adam, we've tried to commit to going to New York more often. It hasn't happened recently, but because of every time we just walk around, we see like new businesses and concepts that we love.
I feel the same way, but I'm biased, obviously.
Yeah, no.
Well, so when you come visit, we will hang out. God.
Can't wait.
We'll go visit some piercing stores and suggest palette to them.
Yeah.
Okay, a few more. Dream travel destination.
That I've never been to?
Yeah.
I would say, oh my gosh, now I just forgot the name.
What area of the world?
The Maldives.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I want to go and just relax there. Yeah.
And finally, one word to describe your leadership style.
Inclusive.
Oh, that's good. Okay, you've reached the end of that treadmill of thinking.
God, I'm sweating.
There's some good takeaways there, though, people. You should rewind that part. Okay, lastly, on this episode, I end it with what's called the train of thought, where I will give you the theme from the last episode, and then you have to connect it to what we've talked about today. And this has been going since the very first episode.
I think I'm going to have to take a nap after this.
There's a reason why thinking is a job, man. Obviously, I'll send you a check after this. Okay. So what would you say is one of the main themes of our chat today?
Oh, we went, I'd say, like how the past impacts the present and the future.
Oh, wow. That's really well connected to where we're going next.
Okay, great.
Because the theme of the last episode, which you'll have to connect, is they said, be yourself. And the more you're yourself, the more successful you'll be. As in, that people say we have to be certain ways, but the magic really happens when you can put that true self forward. And that's whether it's work or school or whatever. So be yourself. And the more you're yourself, the more success you'll have in the future. How does that connect to what you just said about the past affecting the present and future?
I mean, I love that. And I think the extension of that would be that if you're your true authentic self, you're more clear on then who you aspire to be and where your vision is of like the future and what that future self looks like. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So like, because I feel like we've gone like from, okay, who you are, getting to know who you are and like leaning into that and then that really revealing opportunities, but then going the next phase, which is what's your future self look like? Like, what are the things that you now want to improve? Like, we're a constant improvement in ourselves, right? We're constantly growing and improving. When I look back at who I was when I opened Wax On to today, it's so different. And the judgments I used to have then are very different than the thoughts and judgments I have now.
I love that. Now, it's like, sort out your past so that you can figure out who you are in the who you truly are in the present, so that you can design your future.
Yeah, and unlock that future. Yeah,
I'm into that. So that's going to be what the next train is going to have to figure out: past, present, and future.
Love this train.
I love this train of thought too. I'm going to have to put it all together at some point.
Oh, you do for sure.
We are nearing the end of our chat. So, Lexi, is there any last thoughts that you want to give people listening?
I'm so grateful for this opportunity and truly one of my more favorite podcast interviews I've been on because of, I feel like I just had like a partial therapy session.
Same. I mean, same.
I think it is that just knowing and believing that we can and be more than what we even know to be true in the current state that we're in today, like that you can unlock more for yourself if you remove judgments around it and just take a little move towards something that feels right. I'm a big gut instinct person, and moving on gut has been something that's never led me astray, and going against it has often gotten me into trouble. So I'd say move on that instinct. Like today, if something comes to you, mm-hmm. take a move, see what happens, and you can surprise yourself.
I do love it. All right. Thank you, Lexi. Thank you for being here this morning. I so appreciate it and love catching up.
Thank you. And cheers. Cheers to getting smoothies in before.
Cheers. I'm living a year longer.
You are. Yeah, that's Spirulina and girl.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everyone.